So today we end the fly experiment. The experiment itself, you'll still have to think about it because you still have a little bit of writing to do about it and number crunching. But your data will be complete by the time you leave today. And all you're doing is just removing all your F2s, napping them, and it doesn't matter whether it's a terminal nap, so don't worry about overdoing it because you're just going to morgue them today. And importantly, you need to carefully look at them, assess their phenotypes. So for each of the two experiments, make sure that you look at each individual and write down three things about each individual. Its sex, its trait for the first characteristic, and its trait for the second characteristic. For instance, in one of the experiments, you would write down, for example, female, black-bodied, vestigial-winged, or female, black-bodied, normal-winged, and so on. All three of those things for each individual. That will give you everything you need to complete worrying about this experiment. Okay? So you already know how to do that. Use the vials, the nap, clean up well when you're done. And since we are the last section, that includes putting the dissecting scopes away. Okay? That shouldn't take too long, but before I let you loose on this, I want to go through something that confuses a lot of students term to term that I've noticed, so I just want to clarify it. When we think back to the overall grand questions that we're trying to answer, there were three major kinds of questions, right? Which is the dominant allele of the two for each of the characteristics? We already answered that, right? Simply by observing the F1s. Since they were all heterozygous, whatever phenotype they exhibited is by definition the dominant phenotype. So you already have the answers to that. And notice that wild type was dominant in all situations, right? That's why they all looked wild type to you. But the other two major questions were, is this gene, and it could have been any of the three genes you're studying, X-linked or not? And the other one is, are these two pairs of genes linked? I mean, these two genes, this one pair of genes linked. Okay? The X-linkage question wasn't answerable last week, and that's what I wanted to explain why. You weren't able to answer that, and you can't answer that until you look at the F2s. But just think about, we need to think about this in terms of predictions. There's two alternatives here. One is that the gene in question, and it could, like I said, it could be any of the three genes. You have to think about them individually. So I'm just going to call it gene A, generically. Gene A could be X-linked, or gene A is what? What's the alternative?
Autosomal.
So if we think about the assumption that it's autosomal, let's think about how we produce these crosses. The parental generation we would symbolize as A plus A plus. That's the true breeding wild type female that we started with, right? And the pluses mean that she, instead of having the mutation, she's wild type. Crossed with AA, the true breeding mutant male. Make sense? Well, when you do this hybrid cross, the F1 are all going to be A plus A. They're all heterozygous. And they all have the dominant phenotype, which in your case was the wild type. Okay? When we then cross them to do the F2, that's going to be A plus A by A plus A again. And a corresponding Punnett square is that each parent can produce two kinds of gametes, an A plus gamete or an A gamete. So you have the same thing to the left and to the top. Standard four box Punnett square, A plus A plus, A plus A, A plus A, and AA. Right? So what does that Punnett square tell you? What does it predict? That 3/4 of the offspring should have the wild type phenotype, which is dominant, and 1/4 should have the mutant phenotype, whatever it is for that gene. And it says this irrespective of sex. So 3/4 of the females should be dominant, 1/4 recessive or mutant. Same thing for the males. Sex shouldn't make a difference for autosomal. All right, now let's do the corresponding crosses under the assumption that it's X-linked instead. When it's X-linked, we write the cross a little bit differently because now we keep track of the sex. We use X's and Y's to denote the chromosomes on which these things are, well, it's found on the X only. So the female's genotype would be written as X superscript A plus, and then another X superscript A plus, because she is true breeding wild type. It's she because it's XX. That's what makes her female. And that's going to be crossed with X superscript A without the plus, Y with no superscript because the Y doesn't have the locus. So this is a homozygous wild type female crossed with a hemizygous mutant male. Well, when it comes time for the F1, the female in the parental generation can only make one kind of egg. It doesn't matter which of her two identical alleles is chosen in meiosis. So it's only going to be one row, XA plus in the Punnett square, but the male can produce either of two sperm, either X super A or Y. And so it's a one row, two column Punnett square. And when you match up row and column, you get X super A plus, X super A, and X super A plus Y. In a Punnett square like this with the X's and Y's, the column that has XX in it are the females. The column that has XY in it are the males. So what does this predict about F1? Says that all the females, because wild type is dominant, should be dominant in phenotype. But it says the same thing about the males, because the only way a male can get an X chromosome is from the female in the cross, the female parent, and she was wild type true breeding. So it says, regardless of sex, every individual should be wild type. Exactly the same prediction for the F1 under the assumption that it was autosomal instead of X-linked. And that's why you can't look at the F1 and make that determination. All right, you have to go to the F2. So when it comes time for the F2, what you're doing is crossing this female type with this male type. Okay, so this female can produce either of two eggs, XA plus and XA, and the male can produce either XA plus or Y as his sperm. That leads to a four box Punnett square. And when you match those up, you get X super A plus, X super A plus, X super A plus, X super A, X super A plus Y, and X super A Y. Now what are the predictions? Says that all females should be wild. Even though there's two different kinds of genotypes, phenotypically they should be identical. But when you look at the males, half of them should be dominant or wild type, and half of them should be mutant, which is different from what you predicted over here. And so that's why you can answer that question finally with the F2. Yeah.
I thought wild type doesn't necessarily mean that it's dominant.
It doesn't, but we know that from this particular experiment, from your F1s.
Oh, right.
Because you looked at them and they were wild.
Yeah.
And since they were heterozygous, that means wild dominates over mutant.
Okay.
Yeah, it would be, you go through the same steps, but it would be different predictions if it were the other way around, if mutant were dominant. All right, is everyone clear on all this? Because that's usually what people find the most difficult in terms of Punnett squares and figuring out the use of the data for statistics. So if you're clear on that, I'm done for today, and you can go ahead and do your counts.